Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Welcome back to another splendiferous episode of Talking Lamar. In this installment, I'm talking about the most important person in my life, my mama. Never been another one like her. Let's get to it.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
I tell you the truth. My mama will always be the strongest person I've ever known in my life. She put up with a lot of crap, and she kept all her stuff together. She never lost it. She raised my brother. She raised me. We've both avoided jail, probably narrowly in both parts, but, you know. And she was awesome. And she was married to my dad, and I've told these stories all the time. You know, he was an alcoholic. And I talk a lot about my daddy and his drinking, and I make it funny. Truth was, the actual life, not so funny. Sherry, I think you can understand how that works, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because we tell stories.
We use humor. We use humor to bludgeon our way through pain. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the truth. You show me somebody that's funny, and they got some baggage somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, they do. They do. And, you know, listen, the same stories that I tell that make people die laughing, if I told them a different way, they'd be crying. I mean, that's how that was. But through it all, my mama, she stuck it out. And, you know, we'd have some, her and my dad would have some knockdown dragouts, and backing down, that wasn't her. Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't back down. And if it got to a point to where it wasn't going the way she needed it to go, and she had had about all she could take, he needed to sober up, she'd get that Ipecac. You ever heard of that?
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Chemical.
The vomiting thing, the thing that induces vomiting.
I thought that was only in Warner Brothers cartoons.
No, it's real. No. She wouldn't, And it hardly ever did she do it. But if he went on a 2 or 3 day deal and he getting out of hand, she'd go put a few drops of that in the Coke bottle, the Coke that he was drinking. I always kept a Coke, a regular Coke bottle in the refrigerator. And he'd take him 2 or 3 good long pulls of that old crow and then chase it with a Coke. And he'd do that, and he'd come back in there, and he'd sit down and start watching TV, and I'd see him start squirming a little bit. You could just see him. He'd move around in the chair a little bit. He'd clear his throat, and he'd get sort of nervous. And the next thing you know, he's jumping up, running like a bat out of hell, headed to the bathroom, throwing his guts up. I mean, buddy, it would empty out everything in his stomach. And I'd look over there, my mama being recliner, I'd look over there, and she'd just have a satisfied look on her face. All right, we're good to go.
Want to say, I like full respect for your mother. Her villain origin story is so real. You know, you said that your mama would never back down. That is exactly the kind of woman that your father needed, and exactly the kind of woman you and your brother needed. Yeah. Because when you've got a daddy in that kind of like substance addiction spiral, and you don't have a mama that doesn't back down, it gets real crazy and bad real fast. So while there are many people that would be going, I don't know, Lamar, I mean, spiking daddy's Coke with syrup of Ipecac sounds wrong. Well, they haven't lived your life, you know, like they just haven't been there. I'm not going to judge them.
No, and they haven't lived my mama's life either. And, you know, she was, I mean, the thing about it is my dad, when he wasn't drinking, greatest guy ever.
Yeah.
So sometimes she had to pull him out of that, and nothing less than that would do it. So desperate times call for desperate measures. It didn't kill him. It made him sick. She didn't give him rat poison. It was a real drug. She got it from the drugstore. How did you know?
Did she tell you? Did you see her do it, or did she tell you she did it? How did you know?
She said, "It's time for the Epicac." I said, "Hey, go ahead, go for it. I'm with you, Mama." Listen, let us take a little bit of break. We'll be back with some more exciting Doris stories.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Hey, we're back, and I'm telling stories about my mama. And now let me say this before we go any further. Yes, my mama took a thing of, but she got it from the pharmacist. I mean, she worked at a drugstore. And so the pharmacist, she said, "What have you got that will make him stop drinking, make him sick, stop drinking?" He goes, "Oh, a couple of drops of this will do it." And sure enough, it did do it. And like I say, you know, you can debate it with me all day long. Be careful, because you say too much about my mama, I have to come to your house. But what I'm saying is, you can debate it, but until you live that life, you can't. I mean, you know, you can't. And like I say, he jumps up and goes to the bathroom and he throws up. He don't feel like drinking for a couple of days. So he's sober. God, good. Never missed a day of work. I mean, provided for the family. I mean, great guy. Great guy. There's two different Leons. There was sober Leon and there was drunk Leon. Drunk Leon, he's a handful. Sober Leon, God, give you the shirt off his back. So, you know, but my mama managed it. She managed the situation. And my daddy worked construction. He drove bulldozers. He operated cranes and stuff like that. And he didn't know anything about working the bank account. He didn't know anything about paying the bills. He worked. He came home. He gave my mama the money. She put it in the bank. She paid the bills. You know, she took care of everything. And I'm pretty sure I look back, we were very, probably fairly poor people. But you couldn't have told it, because we had everything we needed, had plenty of food. Everything was good to go. My mama managed a lot of stuff. I mean, she was good. She was great. She really was. And, you know, me and my brother, I mean, he was 11 years older than me, so he probably had as much to do with raising me as she did, as far as that goes. I mean, he was, I looked up to him. And, but yeah, she was cool. Now, as far as a parent goes, my mama, she didn't take no back talk. I mean, the very few times it happened, and I trust me, there wasn't probably more than two, she popped them jaws and got my attention, and she explained it to me. And what she did was, and she didn't hesitate to whip that ass when it was called for. I mean, I know today we can't do that. Today we got to sit down and negotiate or whatever. But my mama didn't negotiate. She whipped that ass if she had to. But she set the parameters, and she was very exact on the parameters. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're not going to do. Don't do this. We're good to go. And of course, like any other kid, I'd try her out every once in a while. And that didn't happen too many times either. Cause once when you know, she showed what the consequences was, that was it. And, so, you know, that's the way I was raised. I don't know, Max, did your parents paddle you or anything?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I did. Yeah. In fact, they had this thing. It was like a pocket paddle that had a ball on it
that had a rubber band.
Would give it to us as kids, and then when it broke, that became the paddle.
Oh God, they're gangsters.
I know. And they kept it. I can tell you where they kept it. They kept it. There was like a little table that was above where the silverware was, next to the refrigerator, and there was a box of Kleenex, and it was under that box of Kleenex. That's where they kept it.
Mm. My mom didn't have a paddle. She'd pop me on the butt. She would blister my butt with her hand. And I know it had to hurt her hand, because I got to hurt my butt. But no, she was pretty tight on that. And my dad, he was a belt guy. He was a belt guy. Nothing crazy. And I know it sounds, this day and time, it sounds, you know, whatever. But he'd take that belt and double it up and pop you a couple of times on the butt, and you get your attention. And one of my favorites, it's my favorite story to tell about this. There's two stories I've got, because my dad probably only spanked me twice in my entire life, maybe three times. I don't know. But I remember two times. They were very memorable, and we don't want to go through that again. He was a big boxing fan. He loved to watch boxing on TV. And on Saturday night, they used to be boxing. I don't know. Max, did y'all, I mean, of course, I don't know if your mom and dad would watch that. My dad watched boxing. And on Saturday night, it was on. And he loved to watch it.
No, they did not. Just to answer the question, my parents were not boxing fans.
Yeah, I can't say that. Well, nobody else was either. We were to have one TV. So my daddy watched boxing on Saturday night. And so, like, if I had to go to the kitchen, because we lived in the trailer, if I had to go to the kitchen, I have to go in front of him, you know, when I did. So I would crawl on my belly to get to the kitchen to get me something. But then on the way back, sometimes I couldn't get down because I'd have a, you know, thing of popcorn or something, you know, and I come across. Well, I made me three or four trips, and he told me, he said, quit walking in front of me. And I kept going on. Finally, I made about that fourth trip walking in front of him, and I got between him and that box. You'd have thought he was a ninja. He come up out of that chair, and in one fell swoop, that belt popped off, doubled its own self in the air, and he popped me on the butt. And I remember it to this day. I quit doing that. I didn't walk in front of him no more with that TV. I mean, I really didn't. I mean, he had certain things. But, you know, we were pretty strict as far as that goes. But other than that, I mean, my mom was very loving, very, you know, whatever. And I was a notorious bedwetter. Oh, my gosh. Notorious. I mean,
but a lot
my brother
of boys
knew.
Are. Yeah, a lot of yeah, little boys I'm, are.
Yeah, I was. And my mama
and
tried
you didn't grow
everything.
Up to set fires, torture animals, and become a serial killer. You know, that
nope,
we know of,
true.
Right? Yeah.
yeah, that's true. That's true. But she tried everything. And I told this a long time ago on the radio. She had bought a thing from Sears that was supposed to, you know, keep you from wetting the bed. And what would happen is, when you wet the bed, when this thing got wet, it would set off like a buzzer, alarm or whatever, and it would wake you up. But it would also wake my mama up. And so what you were supposed to do was, when it woke you up, she was supposed to come in and grab me up and go set me down in a bathtub full of cold water. And it was like shock therapy.
Oh, okay. Wait. I want to make sure I understand this completely, because this woman, I need to call her back to earth from death and give her prizes. Okay. So wait. So your mom had at all times had to have a bath of ice cold water on standby. And
just
after just at night. Right. But every night. And then after a long day of being on her feet, taking care of that house, dealing with your daddy, looking after you and Troy, being responsible for everything, growing her own food in the garden. That poor woman would lay her saintly head down on a pillow, an alarm would go off, and she would have to shoot out of bed like a jack-in-the-box and haul your ass into a cold bathtub. I mean, it wasn't good for you either, don't get me wrong, but I'm just feeling it for your mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I get that right? And okay.
Yep, that's exactly how it worked. And we did that. I think she did it. I think she... three times, and it didn't make any difference. I mean, it didn't make any difference. I mean, it was a certain amount of shock therapy to it, but it still didn't keep me from wetting the bed. And I mean, I couldn't drink anything after 6 o'clock. She did everything she could, but that was just one of them deals. And that comes to one of my favorite stories that I tell about my mom, is because I wet the bed all the time, I couldn't spend the night at nobody's house because I would be totally embarrassed to do it. And so we would go somewhere and I'd get invited to stay. And me and the kid would go to my mom and I said, Mama, can I stay? And she goes, no, baby, we got something to do, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, please, Mama, please, Mama, please, Mama, please, Mama. Knowing all the time, she's going to say no. But she allowed me to beg her. And then she would continue to say no. And then we would go home, because if she said yes, I'm in problem.
Okay.
Because, yeah. And so So it was an unspoken situation. I would beg to stay, and she would know that I didn't really want to stay, but it had to look like I wanted to stay. So, you know, she was the bad guy. She was always the bad guy. We had to go home.
God, what a glorious woman. What a glorious woman you had for a mother, you know?
That was a big deal.
How long? Because I want to tell all my mom friends, like especially like my niece Britt, who's kind of in the struggle, I want to say, listen to what Lamar's mom went through. How long did the DEFCON 5 level alert cold bath situation last?
Probably a little bit over a week. And like I say, we did it about three times. And, you know, I'm sure it was not fun for her. And dang sure wasn't fun for me. Because then even after you dump me in the bathtub, then you've got to get me out and dry me off. Then we got to put, you know, pajamas on and, you know, all that. And you still got the bed in there. You got, you know, I mean, it was crazy. So she just gave up on that. So
I would have too. I mean, I'm exhausted. My child's traumatized. Now we're all up in the middle of the night, soaking wet and shivering and crying. Like, how is this good?
Yeah. That's why they don't sell that. They don't sell that anymore because that doesn't seem to do any good. But now this is something that you might can relate to. And I know there's probably a lot of people and mamas especially can relate to this. If I ever got sick in the middle of the night, if I had to get up and go throw up, because I never threw up. I'd always wake up and, you know, and I guess you got sick a bunch as a kid, but have to go throw up. I would jump up, hit the floor. I would run into the bathroom. And as soon as I got to the bathroom, I'd raise a seat on the toilet. And as I put my head down to throw up, my mama's hand was always right there to catch my forehead. Because she had me convinced as long as she held my forehead when I threw up, I wouldn't get a headache. Now, that's probably not true. But I never, when I was a kid, I never once threw up without my mama holding my head. And she would just hear me get up. I mean, she would cut through the hall and meet me in the bathroom. And I just wouldn't look for her. I just put my head down and bam, it hit the palm of her hand. And there I am throwing up. But I always felt like it made me feel better. And then when I got to be old enough to go out and probably drink something I should have, if I got sick to throw up, I would reach up and hold my head. I always held my forehead. I finally quit doing that after a while, but I always held my forehead because I thought if I didn't, I'd get a headache. But yeah, I don't remember throwing up any time as a kid that my mama didn't hold my head.
I never had the chance to know your mom, but some people, and they're often unsung, right? Like, there's all the famous people we know. Like, you look at a celebrity or an athlete who's at the top of their game, a Michael Jordan or a Taylor Swift, right? And you go, like some legendary talent, and you go, boy, they're doing what they were born to do. And when we say that, it's often accompanied by some sort of acclaim or riches, right? This person was born to do that, and that's why they're so successful. But listening to you talk about your mom, and this is not the first time I've thought this, I feel like Doris was born to be yours and Troy's mom. I just feel like she was doing what her innate skill at dealing with kids and navigating all of that. I mean, people study books and websites and struggle, and your mom just sort of had an instinct for it and she trusted it. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. 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 She was big on do what she had to do. She was big on do what she had to do. And it was a great childhood. I mean, it really, really was. She was, you know, and like I say, all the, you know, the home remedies and all that crazy stuff, she was all over it. And it was really good. It was really good. I was always close to my mom. It was really good.
What way do you see your mom's parenting in the way you parented your own kids? Can you see one example where you're like, oh, yeah, that's Doris? And we'll leave off the part about how you hauled the twins into an ice cold bath in the middle of the night.
I'll tell you one thing. He told me a story one time, and he was taking care of Gabriel. Gabriel says, this is what he wants for dinner. I guess he wanted like Pop-Tarts or something like that. And you said, no, that's not what we're having for dinner. And he took the toaster out. You put the toaster away. And he said, you're making me mad. Here's what Lamar said. I don't need to worry about you being mad. You need to worry about me being mad.
Yeah, that's some Doris. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. You know, and I've said this before. Maybe somebody listening to the podcast may not know this, but I remember coming down the road, and I don't think I was old enough to get this talk, but I could see what was coming. She was fixing to give me the sex talk, and we're driving down the road. God, we're driving down the road. I can see the road. I can see exactly where we were. And she goes, let me tell you something. If boys would keep their pants up and girls would keep their dresses down, they would be less trouble in the world today. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, I'm staring out the window watching the grass go by. Yes, ma'am. I do understand exactly what you're saying. I'm thinking, God, please let this stop. Please let this stop. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How can we get past this?
I'm just like, man, don't, you know, I thought maybe a dog had run out in front of her or something and she'd slam. I don't know. We had to do something to change the subject, but I said, oh yeah, I get it. I absolutely do get it. I do. But yeah.
Can you imagine how proud she was of her two boys? Because you and your brother, you turned out so great. You know, don't you think she was so proud of y'all?
Yeah, she was. She was. She really, really was. I mean, I don't miss her.
She lived long enough to see you stop wet in the bed. You know, as far as you know.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure. Yeah, I guess I was through with it.
God love you. I mean, really, and you admitted it here, and you told this story, this terribly embarrassing story, and you shared it, and God love you.
And it's so common, Lamar. I won't name names because that wouldn't be fair, but I've got a couple of people in our family that struggled with that when they were little boys, and it's just, you know, like your body is such a complex machine, and things are developing and changing, and some children are such sound, deep sleepers that the impulse doesn't wake them up. What would you, I'll tell you what, can I tell you, as God is my witness right here, if I could have a couple of nights sleep like that, I'll wet the bed today myself. What would you give?
I always have been a light sleeper, so that was not a problem. I'm with you, Sherry.
Yeah, let's wet the bed. You know what? I'll throw a plastic sheet down. Just let me have about 10 hours of heavy, dreamless sleep. Yeah. Don't you feel like there's you need to apologize, mister?
Yeah, there's nothing like, though, waking up and that first thought hits you and you go, oh, man. And my brother slept with me the whole time he was at home. I mean, we slept together in the same bed. So he's bigger than I am. So any kind of drift or whatever, it goes in his directions. Because my mama kept all the she covered all the beds, you know, the mattresses and stuff with plastic. So,
and it drifted, it floated downstream to Troy.
Oh, yeah, it would float. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. He was a trooper on that. He didn't like it, you know.
But. Son, he was more than a trooper. Oh, he was a walking, living saint.
Both of them.
No wonder he went and got you like a dirt bike. He was hoping that'd shake your bladder loose and you'd be peeing on him at night. Good grief. Oh, my gosh. Man, siblings, it's hard being a sibling. Mm. But you know what? I'm glad that you talked about this because it is common. A lot of people deal with it. They're all so embarrassed. Hey, we're just people, you know, like it happens. It happens. It's okay.
Nobody plans it. But I will say, as we start to back on out of here, I will say that probably my life was a lot harder than I think it was. And the reason I don't think it was that hard is because of my mama. She took care of business. And I miss her. I miss her every day. But I'm going to say that wraps us up for another fascinating look back into my redneck life on the farm and how my mama raised me. I appreciate y'all taking the time to listen. We've had a great time. Hope you did. Don't stop coming back because you know me. I hate a quitter. Join us for the next episode of Talking Lamar. Until then.
Thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.